Blog Talk Radio.
I remember one night, June and I were driving from Denver to Cheyenne, Wyoming, where we were going to do that show at that rodeo, the granddaddy of them all, you know, the biggest rodeo in the world. And we've been driving quite a while, traveling quite a while, and the night was clear, and you could see for miles, and we were topping a hill. And I said, I bet we'll be able to see Cheyenne from the top of this hill. And she said, yeah, it'd be nice if over this next hill we'd be home. I said, that's a good song title. And I said, make a good spiritual. I stopped the car. I let her drive while I wrote, over the next hill, we'll be home.
By the way the land is laying, I think I'd be safe in saying that over the next hill we'll be home. It's a straight and narrow highway, no detour and no byways, and over the next hill we'll be home. From the prophets I've been hearing, I would say the end is nearing, for I see familiar landmarks all along. By the dreams that I've been dreaming, there will come a great redeeming, and over the next hill we'll be home. By the speed that we've been making, I would say there's no mistaking that over the next hill we'll be home. There's a place that we are nearing that so many have been fearing, and over the next hill we'll be home. When we get there, we're all hoping that we'll find the gate is open, and there'll be a refuge from the coming storms. For the way's been long and weary, but at last the end is nearing, and over the next hill we'll be home.
Over the next hill, we'll be home. Jesus is our pastor here at Rapture Centric Church. And church family, we thank you, Lord. We just thank you for everything, and we trust you in it. We're going to do a little worship right now.
It is to Madame Justice that I dedicate this concerto in honor of the holiday she seems to have taken from these parts, and in recognition of the impostor that stands in her stead. Tell me, do you know what day it is, Evie?
November the 4th.
Not anymore. Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot. First, the overture. Yes. Listen carefully. Can you hear it? Now the brass.
I can hear it.
Wait! Here comes the crescendo!
Tressie, we get extra welcomes to the people who have to contact us from overseas. So we thank you for being here. Several people on the line. I think we have Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hey, everybody.
Just a minute. Here we go. Kicking Keith.
Hey, everyone. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
Well, it feels like time to go.
I know.
Another hurdle leapt recently in my condition, and I just feel released and ready to go.
Good.
We've got Sarah here. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah. There she is.
Hi. Yeah, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah. Okay.
Ben is there? Yeah. Ben had a hard day today. We need to give him extra love and attention.
Yeah.
I think he was brawling at work. He was taking somebody out at work. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, here's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey. No, it wasn't all that bad. I want to mention when you said it's time to go, there's a train blowing a whistle out here. You know, honk, 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 and just stopped. But,
Ben, are you okay?
Yeah. Nah, everything. Anyway, let me start. It's stuff happens. Anyway, I don't know. What's going on.
Hope you didn't punch anybody out. Go ahead.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
I really did. And, you know, I tried to get the guy's number back so I could apologize to him. I didn't get his number. But anyway, let me start this out right. I do got a couple things to share. And I want you, Jerry, to guess what it is that I saw that I see all the time. But it's like, you know, in the middle of the night, I just woke up. Like, I tried to go to bed early. Well, I don't have to wake up early because I can't stand waking up early. It just throws me off. But I just woke up and I had a lot of energy. I'm like, man, I can't get back to sleep. Like, what's going on? Like, did this time change mess me up? Like, let me go check the clock and see what time it is. So So I know, like, if it's actually close to time to go to work, because it's weird, you know, like, I'm just woke up here. Well, what number do you think I saw, Jerry?
What number? At first I was thinking November 5th, but since you're saying number, I'm going to say 555.
144.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah,
see, that's
like,
your number.
Yeah.
I mean, you see 144 all the time.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, just guess what I saw again, you know. And I've been seeing it one more throughout the day. And I was actually glad to see it this evening after a bunch of crap at work. But, last night was, I had a great time with the Lord last night. Before I went to bed, you know, my favorite thing to do is, like, what a lot of people like to do, I guess, you know. I know everybody likes to spend time with the Lord, but that's what I like to do. I just, like, was just laying down and, like, listening to music and letting my mind drift off and everything like that, you know. And it's, like, kind of like we go on a trip together and, like, just, like, these, I don't know what you call it, panoramic views of, like, stuff I forgot would just pop back up. And I'm like, wow, Lord, you brought me a long way and stuff. But anyway, I thought that was cool. But, no, like what Keith was saying, I don't know. I really wanted to get fired from work. I've been saying that for this whole time, like, because I just get tired of going, or at least put me in another department. But anyway, all it is just, you know, normal workday stuff, you know, people being stupid, and I just got tired of it. I told somebody what was on my mind. Now, you know, I can't stand it, like, when you want to, you know, it's like you want to tell the truth. Well, obviously you want to tell the truth, but like when you take a stand for something, and then like afterwards you kind of feel bad sometimes. I don't know. That's kind of, you know. Anyway, I just had one of those days at work, and I don't know what's going on. I just left early and everything like that. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to move me to another department or whatever. It, obviously, they still want me back because they're just like, oh, man, I hope you're not gone. But, yeah, that's all it is. I don't know. But really, I was just aggravated with this one guy, you know, because there's a lot of people that, and this wasn't really what started it. It's just, you know, it's like I said, it's typical workplace stuff you deal with every day. And, you know, when you finally, like, have enough and you tell somebody something, then afterwards you're like, you feel bad that you probably done them wrong or something, but I don't know. There's a lot of people. It's sad. The reason I feel bad is I really do feel bad for a lot of the people around there. I do, because they're so scared of losing their jobs. If the people higher up take advantage of those below them, out of, you know, they like increase the workload, like, all over America. That's just how it is in all these corporations. They increase the workload of the guy on the bottom all the time, you know, because they get greedier and greedier, and their hearts get harder as the world gets more wicked. And because these guys are just scared of losing their job and everything like that, nobody wants to stand up and say anything. So I always just, you know, I just feel bad for them, because they're kind of like still in a prison, so to speak. Like, a, you know, they're just slaves. They're slaves is what they are. Because they're,
right.
You know, and what I tell them all the time, I said, it's brave men that built this country, and it's cowards that are destroying it. And, you know, people always say the United States is not a Christian nation, but I keep telling them to read the Mayflower Compact. That was the document that was written before the Constitution, and it said it was to advance the Christian faith, advance the Christian, you know, well, it does say faith. I'm trying to make sure it didn't say principles,
right.
But it said faith. And that is, everybody knows that. It's like something you can draw from the conclusions. Like, whether or not George Washington was a Mason has nothing to do that, you know, with what, you know, people were intending. But, you know,
that's right.
And I just.
Well, you know, there's always a serpent in the church choir. There's always a serpent in a group of believers. There's always, and I don't mean that in a personal sense, but, you know, workers of evil and secret agendas are everywhere we go. But it was the common perception that you just stated in the Mayflower Compact that was the motivating force for the majority of the people, and it was the source of blessing that allowed those people to succeed. And whether or not there were other agendas in play, and this land was populated or repopulated or however you want to look at it, you know, what exists now was created by people, largely people of faith. And whether or not there were people involved in the running of it, which we know there were, who had other allegiances and other ambitions, if you will, is really beside the point. Because what was achieved on the backs of people who were believers and the blessings that they lived in because of it. And nothing can ever change that.
And this is part of the reason why I say, which we all sense it, we all know it in different ways, that, you know, it's the darkness is just like taking over America right now. It's because, you know, I used to work at a prison called Rayburn Correctional Center, and it was RCC. That was the initials of it. And, you know, I was talking to one of the lieutenants there at nighttime, and he said, you know, America was never a Christian nation. And anyway, throughout the whole debate and stuff, he brought up slavery and stuff, and I'm thinking, oh, man, see, everybody's just so hung up on hate that you know, it's like we talk about, people need the Lord. Right. People need forgiveness. They need, you know, this, you know, this. It's just so much deceit out there and stuff, and some like I was telling you, like at work, some of these good old boys, they just think, you know, they're scared. That's really what it is. They're just scared of losing their jobs, but they make excuses for everybody above them, and they take it out on the people below them, and that's just that's slavery by fear.
Yeah. You know, Ben, I don't know, a couple of days ago, I think we were talking in chat. You were talking in chat a little bit about some workplace stuff, and it really prompted me to think about some things. I've worked in some unusual settings, and it has given me a really broad perspective of how people behave and act, and in certain settings, and how organizations are affected by the personnel. And you know, there's sort of two basic things that I've learned, and that's one is if you have a workplace or an arena where people do not seem to be acting in the best interest, the presumed interests, the honest interests of being there or in the betterment of the organization, then the likelihood is they have a different agenda than the betterment of the organization. It's not always that they're stupid. It's that they have a different angle that you were not aware of. And the same thing's true in government. I mean, these arguably highly educated people who, you know, are in government positions at a high level, you know, they get off really easy when we call them idiots. They get off far too easy when we call them idiots. What we need to be saying is they know what they're doing. So what are they trying to achieve that we don't understand? And if people would think that way in the electorate, it would be a lot harder for them to hoodwink the population the way they do. You know, and forget about what comes out of their mouths. Watch what they do and what effect it has. And if you assume that that's the effect they wanted to achieve, then you can begin to understand what their real motivations really are.
Sure, Jerry, what you're saying, I mean, the Bible backs it up. The Bible says, you know, like what Ben is talking about, the Bible says a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So those are bad trees. So they may act like they're trying to do good for the people there and trying to, you know, fish superficially, but really they're out, their intentions are all evil and dark. They're out to bear bad fruit. Bad tree cannot bear good fruit. God always reminds me of that when I see people in public. It's all they can do to be nice. It's all they can do to get, they just can't. It's painful for them because a bad tree can't bear good fruit, you know. They're just rotten to the core, and that's their fruit. Jesus says you will recognize them by their fruit. I mean, that's huge. There's volumes and volumes in that one statement. You know, you'll recognize them by their fruit. It'll tell you everything before you say anything. Their actions will show it. So, and America's a free country, but yet the companies are like dictatorships, far from freedom at all. And Ben says it's like a pyramid. The top and the bottom, all the workers, and it's all fear-based and, you know, and trying to squeeze everybody dry so they can make more money. And then they can say that, and Target brags about the fact that they give, you know, millions and millions of schools. And I'm like, really? At the expense of who? The workers who are barely making a living and on welfare? Wow, that's a really good thing to brag about. You know, and Walmart brags about the fact that they help you fill out your paperwork for your, you know, your government assistance, welfare. That's really sick. You know?
Yeah.
Real.
Right.
But when Walmart started out, you know, Walmart, because, you know, I was a stock trader, Walmart, when they started, they would give their managers, they didn't have a lot of money to pay them, but they would give them stock options. And every single person, after a while, they all retired rich. You know, and GE, the same way, my dad had stock options.
Right.
You know, but now companies, all that's gone. And if they do give you stock options, it's nonsense. If you quit after... If you don't, like Supercuts, when I worked there, they go, oh, we have stock options, but you have to work at one store for 7 years. Well, no one in history has ever done that, so there you go.
You know, Keith, what you mentioned, I have a second point that I want to sort of reflect on to Ben, but what you mentioned is the benefit of growth. When there's economic growth, then people at every level can prosper. When there's economic stagnation, then the only people who prosper are the ones at the top, controlling the circumstances. And that's why growth is such a significant thing for the middle class. And the middle class has been dramatically attacked over the last 10 years.
Wiped out.
And it's because, exactly, well, that's the goal. They want serfs and they want elites. That's what they want. And, but anyway, so Ben, the other thing that I kind of learned is that in different organizations, there's the only way you can really understand what's going on is whoever's at the top and how they run things. Some people, for example, one of the Harvard Business School teaches basically chaos theory. Not surprisingly, a lot of our leaders in Washington come through Harvard and the Ivy Leagues. They teach chaos theory, and basically they keep everybody under them in a state of upheaval on purpose so that nobody can effectively challenge their power and position of leadership. Setting that, and I've worked under somebody who was trained with that philosophy, and it was quite an education. Anyway, who was an owner of his own company, but that's sort of how he did things. And I'm not sure he's capable of doing any other way, to tell you the truth. It's a defense mechanism. You know, when people don't have a lot of confidence in their own abilities, and the main thing they're concerned about is maintaining control, then chaos is an easy fallback. But in companies that are run by people who are really trying to run it for the betterment of the company, which they know will benefit everybody there in time, a lot of times the people at the top will have a very different reaction to some of the kinds of things that you're talking about than the people in middle management. Because it's usually the middle management people who are the biggest cover their backside type people. They're the ones that get in the position, they want to ride it out, and they don't want anybody to rock the boat. And the people at the top might see them as the people who they wouldn't promote any further. The problem is they become a barrier to getting quality information to the people at the top, and it's very hard for them. And that's why middle management is such a
middle management is a waste.
mixed blessing.
Supercut, they made all this money, and they used to just go around and go, oh, we're just checking on the haircuts. I'm like, well, we're just doing fine without you. That's glad you get paid $80,000 to just drive to the store to look at us. Thank you so much. Total joke.
That's it.
You know, well, yeah. We're at the meantime, we're cutting hair. We had to do 4 an hour just to maintain, you know, to get paid, you know, that's a certain
right.
wage and everything. And so we're working.
See, if everybody had an attitude that they would rather go eat bugs and cricket than have to go serve some system like we got, then we'd throw it over on its head. Now, I know I'm speaking idealistically, and that's not actually going to happen because we know what the Bible says. We know what God says, you know, has said, and it's going to come to pass that, you know, everything in the economy is going to collapse. You know, it's going to be judgment coming, wrath, all kinds of supernatural events. You know, so in other words, we're not, you know, America's going to be destroyed, you know. But, I just wish that there would be more people who would, you know, just quit going through the motions of every day, just coming to work and, you know, serving the, you know, slave masters and going to sleep and blah, blah, blah. So dumb. Like, I just wish more people would just, you know, because, you know, somebody's got to speak up somewhere, even though they're not really going to accomplish much at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but for me, I got to speak for myself. That's what I'd rather do. I'd rather go be like John the Baptist eating crickets out in the woods, you know, than you know, go slaving away for money and serving all this
that's
crap.
Cool.
You know,
yeah, but
see,
and that's why
the matrix of life. You know, matrix of life is that most humans can't see past their job, can't see
exactly.
past their life. They don't think anything exists outside their day to day life. Most humans are—they're locked in a box, and the world knows it. And they just leave them in that. They let them think that. It's horrible.
You go forward in faith and truth, and that puts you in the minority, whether you're in the workplace,
absolutely, absolutely,
or in a position of faith. And so I think it's not so surprising that you're finding these circumstances in your workplace, when you know one of the reasons that we all congregate together is because. You know, we walk a more aggressive walk of faith here.
Yeah, we think outside the box, you know.
Yeah, that's it. I want to do a few things here real quick. I want to get some other people open on the line. We've got Tana. Hi, Tana.
Hi, I love you all. I have to go to work now, though. But I love you, Jesus. I love you. Thanks for helping me at work. Have a great day, everyone. Night, everyone.
Love you, Tana. Thanks. Uh-huh. And we have Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Hey. Hey, guys.
Anything going on?
Well, I don't know. My sleep schedule is pretty messed up right now. And
I
stood up last night, and then I went to bed at like... I just woke up, like, a couple hours ago, and I had coffee this morning. It was the worst decision ever made. It was, like, had extra espresso, and it's super cold here, and I'm freezing, and it was 36 this morning, and it's going to be 80 on Thursday. I don't get it.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy in time weather, that's for sure.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's weird because I'm about 800 miles north of Thomas, and it was colder where he was last night than it is where than it was where I am. Yeah,
wow.
Not by much, but that was really, and we're headed into a colder trend, but still it was really remarkable because when you're in Florida to get cold air, it has to come out of the north. Because the water on both sides, the Gulf and the Atlantic, moderates the temperature of the water.
Hmm.
So
okay.
It has to come from where I'm at. And I couldn't figure out, I mean, I didn't study the weather patterns, but I couldn't figure out how he could be having that really cold weather without me having seen it first. It was very strange.
Wow.
It is actually pretty weird. And also, we have Pat on the line.
Hi, guys. Hi. Love you all.
Hey, honey.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi,
foodies.
And I have an announcement to make. Jim from X217, who's one of us, from X217's YouTube channel, channel. They have a new baby, and we don't even have a name yet, but we want to congratulate him on his name, and or I mean on his new baby, and also good luck on deciding what the name is.
RCC. Yes. We're gonna name it RCC.
Yes. So we are our RCC church is. Our RCC church is celebrating his new daughter with him. So we love you, Jim.
Super.
Love your family. And,
it's beautiful.
We trust things will
it's
continue
so cute.
To go well.
Thanks,
yes.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wanted to say hi to Jim. Now, also, I've got a caller who I don't recognize. And so 815, I don't recognize your area code. So I'm going to open you up here in a second. And if you would like to speak, we'd love to meet you. You don't have to, though. So I'm going to open up 815 right now and say hello to
hey,
whoever.
Hey, everyone.
Your... Hi.
This is Jonathan.
Jonathan Halstead.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey.
Halstead. Mike Halstead.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonathan.
Facebook, Jonathan. Facebook,
what's
yeah.
What's up? Praise the Lord.
Cool.
Cool. Father, I wanted to say something about the how you guys were talking about slaving for the beast. I call it the beast.
Okay. Yeah.
Or the world system, or the powers that be, or whatever.
Yeah.
They're definitely not illuminated. That's for sure.
Not in truth.
Right. So, you know, remember the outcast? Like we were like outcasts in Babylon. When the people were, for 70 years, the Jews were outcast in Babylon. That's
right,
like us.
Right.
So America and the world system pretty much is all of Babylon. And then more specifically, America, you know, but pretty much the whole world system, Gog and Magog is like the world system, you know. Babylon, ancient Rome, whatever you want to call it, you know. And, and so it reminded me of that. Like, we're just like the outcasts, and our home is up in the third heaven with the Lord. Not here. Eventually, this will be our home, but right now it's not.
Right.
You know. So,
yeah, amen, amen.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. You know,
and
I've seen
and they also,
some.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just I have seen some organizations that you know, go through some trouble. Some ones that were really founded in the Lord, who sort of found themselves overcome by people who really weren't people of faith, and go downhill. But recently, you know, over the course of the last 10 years, and really having watched the trends in this country go downhill for really decades, I have come to accept that it's just part of God's plan. You know, he's allowing these people to get into place and to do their things. And there's, you know, it's one of these things where it's really frustrating, but sometimes we just have to accept that's, you know, we do the best we can, and if we can't do anything about it, then he's done it that way for a reason.
For instance,
and actually, go ahead.
Yeah,
go
for instance, the Ten Commandments that got smashed in Oklahoma, I was praying about, like, pretty much the same hour it happened, not knowing. You know, I was, like, praying that they do not erect the statue of Satan in Oklahoma. And the very next morning, I find out it's knocked down. So I'm, like, thinking maybe the Lord will allow this to happen, the statue to be erected, so that he will then allow judgment. Sometimes he allows certain things for the greater picture.
You know, it's like some of the movies that we've seen made recently that have biblical themes, and they don't really portray biblical principles at all or an accurate biblical story.
That's what I heard about Noah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. But just the fact that there's a movie about Noah, there's so many people who go through their daily lives and are just don't ever consider God, ever, on any level. And I just, you know, God will use that. He will use that as a remembrance. Regardless of how it's intended, he'll use it. It's out there. So right. I think this breaking of the Ten Commandments monument that they put up in Oklahoma, it's the same
thing. I feel strong about it because I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but I moved to Chicago when I was 9 months, so I'm from Chicago. My memories are all here, but I live near Kankakee now, Illinois, Bourbonnais, which is where the Bears practice. Not a big deal because I'm not a Bears fan. I mean, if I'm going to choose a team, it would be the Bears.
Yeah, right.
But, of course, I always choose Chicago teams because I'm from here. But the Tulsa, Oklahoma, and just all this stuff happening in Oklahoma, the earthquakes and just everyone turning their backs on God. It's like Oklahoma's an example of America. It's like the quintessential example. Like, they were the Bible Belt example. Now they're turning their backs. And now they're going to allow judgment. And it's really sad.
There's all these things happening in Oklahoma and largely around Oklahoma City, which, by the way, for people who don't know, is the seat of the government in Oklahoma. It's the capital. And so,
for a statue of Baphomet to be erected Ten Commandments get smashed down because somebody said Satan told them to do so. Of course, Satan told them to do so.
Over the last couple of years, we've got, you know, the Ten Commandments statue, which has been controversial. Now it's destroyed, at least temporarily. We've got this Baphomet statue thing, which is in opposition to it. We've got all the earthquakes and the fracking activity, which is related to them. But we've got a lot of natural earthquakes that are occurring in the same areas, and including, you know, it's now the second most active earthquake region in the country next to California. And that makes it one of the most active earthquake regions in the world, especially
I believe it's because it's probably near the New Madrid Fault in Missouri.
Yeah. But it's new that it's been this active. And also, this is where there was the beheading in a workplace and another guy attempted to. All of these things are happening in a very small area of Oklahoma. And
it seems like a quintessential picture state, you know, of what's going on in America.
Well, it's almost the center of the continental U.S.
Right, it is.
It's like right in the middle.
And Satan's using that because on purpose. He's like, this is the middle of the heartland.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, like, and Chicago is like the beef city, and like you got Wheaton College right next to it, which is like where the light shines, and where, you know, where there's darkness, the light shines more. And all those biblical publishings are in Wheaton, Illinois. And that land is blessed. DuPage County is blessed. Cook County is not. It's like crooked county.
Yeah.
I
don't live too far from there. I know exactly what you mean.
Could I share a testimony?
Sure, yeah.
Can I share a testimony?
Yes.
Because the Lord is wanting me to. And though the devil is not wanting me to. So rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. And, you know, I'm free to speak about it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know where to start. Let's see. I want to start with just one verse from Job. And
okay.
It's Job 40:21. He lies under the lotus trees in a cover of reeds and marsh. So that's the behemoth, which is like a brontosaurus or a brontosaurus, you know, like those huge dinosaurs. Back in the day, it's talking about, like, you know, he just, like, wants us to feel like a big dinosaur safe underneath the lotus trees in the marsh. You know, we got plenty of like leaves to eat. We got plenty of water to drink. And we got shade. We got him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I like that. He wanted me to share that. I've always believed in Jesus because my parents were born again Christian. They met in Daystar, like a Christian commune back in the 70s. And it was like, you know, on a farm. It's called Daystar back then. It doesn't exist anymore, but the people still are around on Facebook. And so they got married and had my brother David and I. David's older. My brother's older, and I live with him now. My sister-in-law and my parents. And he's the only one working. But so I feel like I've always believed in when I was 5 years old, I saw my dad speaking in tongues, and I was like, what is that? And he told me what the gift of, you know, the Lord. And I believe in me. He tried to, like, make me try to speak in tongues, and I couldn't do it. And he's like, do you believe that, you know, you could do it if you ask the Lord? I'm like, yeah. So he put his hands on my head, and I was about 5 years old, I remember. And then I just asked him how old I was, and I was about five. And then he did the prayer, and he's like, try now. And ever since then, I've been able to speak in tongues.
Wow.
So, like, the Lord told me, you know, I've been saved for most of my life, probably since the womb, because my mom said I would always dance in the womb at night, all night long. I'm still a night owl. But so as far back as I can remember, but I've, you know, backslid and really, I've gone to hell and back since then. Mm-hmm. I was baptized at 10 years old in Madison, Wisconsin, in the swimming pool of the hotel.
Wow.
And then it just went all downhill. At like about 12 years old, the devil started tempting me and lying to me that I was gay. And I pretty much went with it from like 15 years old on. And then I started going to raves and doing drugs and hanging out with bad friends and shoplifting and being gay. And it's something that's very, it's very deep. And so in 2006, well, I'm sorry, when I was 17, I had a revival because I was like, for a couple years there, I was like, oh, you know, it's all brainwash. And so I was searching for truth, you know, like, who is God? Is there a God?
Right,
and
right.
I was asking. And I had a revival, and like, all of a sudden, the Lord, you know, seek and you shall find, the Lord just bolted me with a lightning bolt, His Holy Spirit, and I felt that fountain of, like, living water. It's, like, made out of gold, just, like, pouring, like, actually squirting up from, like, my pelvis through my inner core, like, and through my entire being, and I just knew that I knew who it was. It was Christ, and He was true, you know?
Awesome.
That's the revival. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Beautiful.
And then, so ever since I was 17, I knew. I, like, knew that I knew that I knew. And I graduated in high school in 2000, so I then just worked retail until 2006. Mm-hmm. I had a traumatic accident because I wasn't walking the straight path. And I was walking across the street, and a drunk driver hit me going about 50 miles an hour.
Wow.
In 2006, it was on a Good Friday at about 3 a.m., April 14th, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laid up for 3 months. I couldn't walk for 3 months. I had, like, broke my right ankle, right knee, right pelvis, right hand. I have a screw in my right hand and right plate in my right leg, so I'm partially disabled.
Oh.
And it turned me into I was drunk at the time, too, but I was a social drinker then, and after that, I went to college for biology because I wanted to be a dolphin trainer, but my accident hindered that, and I was volunteering at the Shedd Aquarium, and I was halfway there, and then I just dropped out and quit, and then just haven't been able to keep a job ever since the accident. I've had jobs here and there, and been living with my parents and my brother, so I turned into a mad alcoholic because I was trying to, like, self-medicate the pain, the emotional pain and the physical pain. And that just was killing me, the cigarettes and the alcohol. So I just asked the Lord to stop, and, like, now I just, you know, try and get the medicinal marijuana so I can just ingest it because I feel the Lord is okay with that. Not smoking it, but ingesting it because it's an herb.
Mm-hmm.
I've prayed about it. And so come April, the first blood moon, he woke me up. I stopped drinking every day in February. Praise the Lord. And so he woke me up, and like ever since April, it's just been nonstop messages and signs.
Wow.
I've had dreams throughout my whole life and visions.
Yeah.
And he's told me I'm one of the comebacks, as you guys call it, the 144.
Cool. Cool.
And it took me a while to accept it.
Yeah.
Not alone.
Because he told me in July, but he told me in so many ways, 10,000 ways I couldn't even describe.
Yeah.
Hmm. And I had a vision a couple nights ago. And to confirm, Tani's going to go take care of the children in the third heaven. And I went up in like a whirlwind, and it was like a tornado that was like made out of like lightning and wind and roots. It was like a carrot. It was so cool. And I went up to the north, past Polaris, past the New Jerusalem, which is to the north. And I was into this throne room for the first time. He brought me there, and it was awesome. It was like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it was also the seven thunders, the seven spirits of God.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. And also the spirit of the fear of the Lord. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And I saw the children. They looked like Disney cartoons, but they looked so real. They were like blank canvases that were just playing with the grass and wanting to absorb so much.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many children just like waiting to absorb like the eternal university that we'll all be in and are already in.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
That's like I wrote all the notes down of what I wanted to share.
Well, you know what? Let me have you hit pause there for just a second, because there's something that you mentioned that also I think it relates to an experience that I've been having that I think also relates to something that Ben was talking about earlier in the program, and it's about our growth processes. And I think the Lord has really, like, for example, I've got a circumstance where I feel like I've been taken through kind of really a final level, and I feel a tremendous amount of relief from it. I've gotten a lot of joy back that I didn't have while I was working through this, because that the short and the sweet aspect of it is simply that, you know, I was being used to be part of somebody else's growth. God was totally in it, but it was still intimidating. And I really feel like I've passed all the way through that. And the timing feels really, really appropriate for our mindset right here. And that ties to what you were saying, Jonathan, about how, and what I was thinking as you were starting to talk about all these things you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really a lot to go through physically in life, but even more so on the spiritual side, from where you were to where you are now and the things you're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is another example of many that we've heard of how accelerated God is taking people's spiritual growth. And
right.
I've been, there's a person here who's sort of part of our group. The bottom line is they've been getting a lot of dreams, and a lot of it, while they're scary, I think a lot of the dreams really represent what I'm calling virtual growth, where instead of having to live out a circumstance in the physical realm to achieve growth, I think the Lord is taking people through virtual experiences in their dreams so they can...
It's a refinement.
Well, you know, so that they can both experience these things in a conscious way, but also when they grow beyond whatever stage they're at, they can recognize it. Because as they begin to see more things in their dreams, they have increasing confidence because they know, even in their dreams, how they react to some of these things that they see. They see
very
scary
true.
Things in the dreams, but they know they're not scared, even though it's scary around them. And a lot of this, the Lord is leading people through, and he was ready to tell you that you're one of the comebacks. And
it took him like 4 months to like get it through my thick skull. Because
well,
I asked for a dream cube, and one of the dreams was...
People, some people take decades. Some people take decades.
Right.
So, but I just to tie it back into something for Ben was, the thing is, I know that the Lord has sort of opened doors for me and then squeezed me out of those opportunities at the times that he selected. And he is, when he wants me to take another step of growth, whether it's how I, you know, what I do in the course of my daily life or how I think about things, he opens my eyes. He increases the size of the offenses, the things that irritate me. I'm not, I don't want to call them offenses. We use that word for another thing here, but he increases my awareness of the negative things that I know aren't right so that I am more disaffected by them. And it's an indication to me to move on and grow beyond that. And whatever the circumstances are, sometimes it's removing myself. Sometimes it's just not taking things as seriously. But where Ben is concerned, Ben, when you were talking about these things, that's what I was feeling. I was just feeling, you know, this is really so much like what I've experienced in a few cases where he wanted me to adopt a different attitude, a different mindset, not because I was doing anything wrong. He just wanted me to take me to a different place. And he did it by magnifying my frustration with the things that I already knew were wrong.
Yeah.
So Ben, I don't know how that rings for you, but that's what it sounded like to me. And also here we're about the end of our live hour, and we've got a couple of people. Raina's called in, and Alana has called in. You're both open if you have something you want to say. But okay, so Jonathan,
okay.
I wanted to give you a chance to kind of catch your thoughts, and
oh sure.
And if you,
I just
want
to say,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord and thank you everyone, so I can have somebody to share these experiences with.
Sure.
Right. Right. Well, that's, you know, we're a peculiar group, and
yeah.
we only.
It took
only
me about like 5
straight.
Days to get used to you guys.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. I was about to say we only don't seem strange if we share a common bond, and
right,
I prayed about it, and Lord confirmed that you guys are A-okay.
Yeah, see, that's what
thank
happens.
You.
That's how you do it. That's exactly how you do it.
And, then
that's
he told me to share my.
I'm sorry, Jonathan. Jonathan, that's
just
exactly
told me to
how
share
I
it,
do
it. So.
Great.
Well, I love it. We thank you. We appreciate it, and we thank the Lord for you and for His work in your life because.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, it's all for him.
Amen.
It's all for him.
Oh yeah.
It's
not,
you know,
yeah, I'm here to talk about me. It's really just to glorify him because look at what he brought, like a wretch like me. He's like a, it reminds me of that, you know, Amazing Grace song and also like the, you know, the valleys and the mountaintops, you know.
That's it. Well, it's really awesome, Jonathan. I'm glad you called in. You're certainly welcome here. We have a very unique and a God-loving family. It's very
amen.
Honor.
Praise the Lord. Thank you.
And, oh, by the way, we have a sense of humor. So I think you probably,
mm-hmm.
if you know some of our people from Facebook, I think you know that we are.
Oh, I have a sense of humor, too. It's just tonight I went. I was so sure. Emotional, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely, I really appreciate that. Yeah, for sure. And
thank you.
You know, it's just I love it. We're glad to have you. We really, truly are.
Amen.
Me too.
We truly are.
Praise the Lord.
That's it. He's made this
family. I hope everyone has a good night.
Yeah,
a good blast of the night. No fear, no nervousness. Rebuke that spirit.
That's right. That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we go and Jonathan, I'm not sure how you're familiar are, but we've got an hour of live air time, and then we've got another app recording, which we've gone into now. So you're welcome to hang around, and you can say, speak, just like anybody else, if you got something to say. And it's kind of, I don't know if you, but, you know, basically everybody's phone lines are open. And I think what I'm going to do is, does anybody else have anything that they feel is like this the really the time to say something? Or I'm going to scroll around here. How about this? Oh, no, here, we'll do this. We just had, you know, you had a sobering experiences, Jonathan, but it's a happy place that you got to.
Right, it's like as low as the valley was, as high as the mountain is. You know, like imagine like the Mariana's Trench and Mount Everest.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good way to talk about it.
So, by the way, sometimes we read things from chat, and Raina's in chat, and she said she couldn't speak on the phone even though she's called in. She called in to listen in our record mode. But she says, thanks for calling, Jonathan. We love you. Now, please come, Lord, is what she means. Welcome to the crazy family,
Amen.
Jonathan, the most craziest ever. And she's got a big LOL, yeah. LOL emoji.
That's right. That's what the Lord confirmed with me is that you're my family.
Yeah,
I have my family. I live with here. That's my blood family. They're also my spiritual family. Thank God my brother and sister-in-law, my mom and dad are born-again Christians. The Lord has blessed me with that.
Cool.
Yeah, I think I this is a little bit of a guess and a little bit of something I know, but I think almost all of us here, regardless of the age, probably, regardless of the situations in our immediate families, I think we all have someone who was somewhere in our family history who knew us, who would have been close to the Lord and really prayed for us. And I don't want to make too much of that, but I just believe that that's absolutely true from what I've seen.
People are, my mom said people are prayed into the kingdom. You got to pray people into the kingdom.
Oh.
That's like planting seeds. You got to plant seeds with them, like by telling them because you believe by hearing, it says in the Bible, and you plant those seeds and then you pray to God to water it.
Because
only you can water it. You can eat it or massage it a little bit, but you got to really leave that up to God.
We leave it up to God, and then, you know, and He succeeds when we follow.
Amen.
You know, so Jesus is the pastor of our church and family here, and we'll just send this out to Him. Actually, I was just sitting here thinking, Jonathan, particularly, since you've joined us today, to introduce you to somebody mm-hmm. else in our family who I haven't seen here, but Raina, whose message I read, is Canadian. She's in, I think, Quebec. She's French-Canadian. And we have Andre, who also is from that general area. And he...
Nice.
Wrote a song. He has a song. He's a musician, and he's got a couple of things that we have that we play occasionally, two or three different songs. But one that it's really interesting, and we've played it quite a lot recently, is a song that was inspired, that went from inspiration to recorded in about 4 days, and he definitely credited the Lord with it. And it's called A Million
wow.
Reasons, and it's about a million reasons he should come for us. And I thought I would play that for you. And this is Andre, who goes by Nayon, N-A-Y-O-N, in our chat room. So this song
thank you so
is
much.
A Million Reasons. Yep.
Thank you.
can hear me better when I'm unmuted. We are going home. Andre credited the speed with which and the quality that he was able to deliver there because he knew he was inspired by the Lord. He had done some other songs, but I think that one came very, very nicely and quickly.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. So
I always wanted to go to Quebec.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's that's we've got several people up there actually, I think, in Ottawa and Quebec together. One or two others around the northern parts of our continent.
It's nice they speak two languages.
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen Rhea for a while. Rhea shows up in chat sometimes. She's another one. And I have not seen her for a while. However, here we are. So, anyway, does anybody else have anything that they would like to share right now? Got a lot of people on the line.
No, just listening. Busy day. A lot of running.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Exhausted.
Yeah, I had to go all the way downtown Chicago today and back. I was like telling my mom, it was my mom and I, and I was driving, and I was like, all roads lead to Babylon. And
that's right.
Chicago is Babylon because it's like the birthplace of the skyscraper, and you know, it's just like 60606 zip code and all the reasons. But
yes,
like I was like, okay, the Lord is with us. We have a legion of angels going into the hornet's nest and back.
That's it.
You know,
that's it. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
This whole world
land
where, for
it's the land where the voting lists close at 7 a.m. and the polls are open all day.
I'm going to vote tomorrow because there's a thing on the ballot about victims' rights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that when you get ran over by a drunk driver, you can get the background of the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So I'm going to vote yes on that, of course.
Yes. Yeah, I get you. Well, we're hoping to poof out of here, and then when you come back, you're going to be 100% plus some.
Yeah, no titanium screws and bones, no more.
None of that stuff. I'll be all the real deal.
Yeah, I can identify with that, with bolts and plates in my left arm, yep, from a break.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, it just hurts so much. There's nothing like bone pain. Oh. I hear it hurts worse than childbirth.
Yeah.
And childbirth is like next, though. It's like bone pain and then childbirth pain.
Yeah, childbirth is pretty wicked.
Yeah.
I've had 5, I know.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I have a C-section, yeah. And so was my brother.
I had that, too.
Thank God.
And, yeah. Either way.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for 20th century medicine.
Yes.
I don't know, boy. Yes. Wow.
Wow, Jonathan. That's a lot. What is God telling you, Jonathan, lately about what messages is he giving you?
He's just, I feel like it's just like any time now, like, or it could be another year. And if it is another year, it's because he's just winning more souls into the marriage supper.
Mm.
You know, it's like the Father's never early, never late. He's always right on time. Jesus wants to come right now. And that's what we're feeling. We're like, and Jesus is feeling the same way, but the Father's like, no, not yet.
You got it. You got it.
And that's when I was in the throne room, they were playing with each other, like the Holy Spirit and Jesus and like the seven thunders and like, and the Father was like keeping them in order.
Right.
And it's been like that forever.
Wow. play with the children too. He loves the children. Jesus.
Oh, the children. That's what he's in business for. He's saving, making children, making babies, and saving souls.
Yeah, he loves babies. He loves babies.
He's in the business of making babies and saving souls.
There's a ton of them up in heaven. I'll have to help Tana out.
There are billions of them. Tons, right?
Yes. They're all over the place, and they're precious.
Like, yeah, that's what I saw. They were, like, spilling out over, like, the grass everywhere.
There are kids everywhere.
It was like they were bursting out of something. Like, they were, like, bursting out of, like, a pen.
A ton of them.
And they spilled out onto the field of grass, and they just started playing with the grass and starting to absorb everything.
Mm-hmm. The flowers talk, the flowers sing. I had a vision walking with him with the flowers singing, and I was like, wow, the flowers are singing.
Yes, like
everything's alive.
The Lord gave me vision of, like, giant tulips that we can just climb into.
Oh, well,
I love
flowers
tulips.
Are big. Yeah.
They just sprout up real quick.
You're going to see stuff that's going to blow your mind,
And, like, the third heaven is like a huge world. The universe is within it. The universe is in capital. Just like hell's within the earth, the universe is inside the third heaven. And the New Jerusalem is to the its throne is at the north. To the North Pole. If you stand at the North Pole and you look straight up past Polaris, the North Star, you're like up there. Way up there. We can never reach him physically. Only by Jesus.
You can probably have your own planet, honey.
Yeah, in the new creation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
doubt
it.
That's it.
Who knows, maybe even the millennium.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprises. Wonderful surprises. But yeah, there are a lot of kids. I read other people's, going to heaven, it's like, yo, there's a lot of kids.
The kids are so happy. I thought I was in a Disney movie. They were just like, but it was like better than that. It was like way better.
Sure.
They're very happy, and he loves to be with the children. He just loves them. Yeah.
Yeah, the father, he's awesome. I saw him, and like at the fear of the Lord, I like left the throne room because I was scared, and like I went to Jesus, and I went back to Jesus, and he was like down at the podium, like looking through the books, you know, because he's the only one that can look through the book and the scroll. And, like, I was like, Jesus, I'm like, I need you.
Daddy is scaring me.
Yeah. Grandpa's scaring me. I need my daddy, Jesus.
That's cute.
That's the spirit of the Lord.
You know, all those things, there's just so many things that we just can't know, in their true scale, but I just look at all of these transitions as just fixing things and making them the way he meant them to be, and it's just going to be glorious and awesome.
Yes.
It's so close, I can almost feel like my skin changing already.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I really believe
it. How close it feels.
Right? Yep.
I can almost, like, feel the heat, like, the warmth. Because I had my first rapture dream, I was sleeping in the dream, and so the rapture happened while I was sleeping, and, like, started going up, and I knew exactly what it was, and I was being changed, and what I felt was the golden warmth, the love, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
mm-hmm.
It felt so warm, the heat, like that nice heat.
Yeah.
Not too hot, not too cold, like. Just right.
Jonathan, you've reminded me of something. I had one little mini epiphany. Well, you can decide. You guys can decide if it's an epiphany or not. But I have been sensing for a long time, I think many of us have, that the Lord has been really increasingly with us over the last few months, that those of us that are tuned into him, just really powerful changes and experiences that we've been having. And I had a thought today, and I want to start out by just sort of asking a question and see if anybody has an opinion or anything to say about this. And it's this phrase that's come into our culture. It is, and the phrase is, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I certainly have used it. And in certain circumstances, it's extremely appealing. And then others, mm-hmm. it's like, well, does it mean anything at all? So does right. anybody else have a rant or anything else to say about that phrase before I go to the next portion of this?
I do.
I would like,
I do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, please.
Okay, well, not so much of a rant, but you know what? I find myself saying that. It's kind of like when you've said all you can say and you're just worn out. And, like, you're worn out to the point that, like, you're just so sad. There are no more words to say, and there are no more tears to cry. So it's like, it is what it is. It's almost like that last resort kind of thing. But to me, that translates to say everything sucks and everything's going to suck until it stops sucking.
I guess. I love the term whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me of the movie Clueless.
Try saying that to the Lord. Try saying that to the Lord. It doesn't go over too good.
You know, when I was at RTC and I was
glad he has a sense of humor.
Well, I said RCC because that's what they call that prison up there. The lieutenant was always saying all the time. Now he was always talking about Jesus, but them guys over there, they didn't really. They were all like post trib and all this that, you know. So I was always talking to them all the time, like trying.
Well,
you know? Anyway, that's another story. But you know that you know they would you know. Talk to the Muslims over there and try to, you know, I guess you say evangelize to them, but not really because they kind of really weren't at the same time, but they were. I don't know. But anyway, the point I'm trying to get is they always kept saying, it is what it is, yo. And like some of the inmates over there would always make fun of them, not really make fun of them, but joke with them, be like, you're always saying it is what it is. And I used to be like, man, y'all are getting on my nerves with that. And then like after I left months later, I catch myself saying that. And then I realized I have a good reason to say it because I get to a point where, you know, I just got to let it be what it is. Just let it be. Let this go. And you know, I don't want to say anything bad about it. I don't want to say anything good about it. It is what it is. And I just, you know, like, wow. And
welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time.
Oh, I don't
call
even know.
Again later.
This
announcement.
Phone.
I don't use Verizon.
No, it's mine. It's just the lady comes on out of nowhere.
Welcome to
and
Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement. 1-switch-80-2.
I have no idea.
The robots are taking over the world.